Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Yud. We are learning today Le'ili Nishmas, David Rosenberg, and Dorothy Lempel. All the Nishmas we learned for should have an aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safe return of the hostages, for the success and the safety of all the forces of Klal Yisrael that are fighting in Gaza and throughout Eretz Yisrael. Be'ezus Hashem, they should all return safely in the very near future, having accomplished what they need to accomplish. Be'ezus Hashem. Okay, so we had started a braisa yesterday at the bottom of Tess Amud Beis. So we'll just pick that up again from there. So we'll begin about 6-7 lines up from the bottom of Tess Amud Beis, just chazering over the braisa that we began yesterday. So Tana Rabban, we learned the braisa, comparing the different aspects of the Arba Ovos Dezikin. So the braisa tells us the Chomer B'Shor Mi B'Bor, and Chomer B'Bor Mi B'Shor, that there are aspects of stringency that are found by Shor, not found by Bor, and vice versa, by Bor, not found by Shor. What is the example? Chomer Bishor Mi Bibor, there is a stringency that's associated with Shor, the damager Shor, versus the damager Bor, and that is Shahashor Mishalim Esakofer. As we pointed out, the Shor, if the person, Rahman al-Islan, is killed, so there's a penalty that you pay if your ox kills a person. Likewise, V'chai B'Shloshim Shalevet, and if you kill an Eved Kenani, so then there's a penalty of Shloshim for killing an Eved Kenani, if your Shor goes and kills an Eved Kenani. So those are penalties that are found by Shor that aren't found by Bor, as we'll see. Likewise, Nigmar Dino, if this is declared to be a Shor Haniskal, it went and killed somebody, Rahmana Litzlan, and based in Paskin that it's a Shor Haniskal, so then it's also Bana, as opposed to a Bor that never becomes also Bana. And finally, the fourth stringency, if you wish, that we found by Shor, not by Bor, is a Darko Lelech Ulahazik, that it has a tendency to go and travel. A Shor moves and causes damage that way. As opposed to all four of these things, Masha Ein came by Bor, none of them are true by a Bor. Now, Chomer B'Bor, maybe Shor, but Bor also has stringencies that Shor doesn't have. What are those? So Shabor, Tchilas Asiyosu L'Nezek, that a Bor, by definition, almost from its onset, when it first dug into the Rishus HaRabim, so it's going to cause trouble. It's a damager. So Tchilas Asiyosu, even from the very beginning of its creation, it is a damager. As opposed to, a Shor is a Shor Tam initially. It doesn't pay full damages. It's not having a tendency necessarily to damage. So that's why Bor is stricter in this sense than Shor. And likewise, Umua B'Tchilasu, you pay full damages from the very beginning, as opposed to a Shor Tam, which doesn't have a tendency to go and damage. And even if it does damage, you only pay half damages. So Mashen came B'Shor. And now that's what we did yesterday. Now we go to Yud Amud Aleph, and we continue in this braisa that we started yesterday and just chaz it over now. So the braisa tells us, Chomer Bishor Mi Be'esh. There's a stringency that Shor has that Esh doesn't have, and vice versa. There's a stringency, Chomer Be'esh Mi Bishor, that Shor doesn't have. Now, we start off with the Chomer Bishor Mi Be'esh, the stringency that Shor has versus Esh. Shashor Mishalim Kofer, as we just pointed out, a Shor, Rahman al-San, if he goes and kills a human being, so there's a kofar penalty that you have to pay, and if he kills an Eved Kenani, v'chai b'sholshim shel Eved Kenani, so those are penalties that are true by Shor that are not found by Esh. Rahman al-San, the person is burned by an Esh, so then there is no kofar that you pay, and there is no shloshim for an Eved Kenani. If, as Rashi points out, the person was tied up, and you tied him up, so then you chayv misa, then it's a capital crime. But if it was an accident, so then the person, for whatever the reason, couldn't escape, so then there is no penalty of kofar that you pay. Likewise, Nigmar Dino, by the Shor, also by not. Once it's an official Shor Haniskal, so then you're not going to get any Hanah from it. As opposed to a fire, there is no Isser and Hanah from it. And finally, Misor L'Cherishot of a Katan, as we had discussed in the previous Shiurim, if you handed over your Shor to a Cherishot of a Katan, so then you'd be Chayiv if the Cherishot of a Katan didn't watch it properly. As opposed to Masha'en came Be'esh. Now, we had a couple of different ways to understand that, but whichever way you understood it, this was a problem only with Shor, and it wasn't a problem with Esh if you gave it over to a Cherishot of a Katan. So all of these are examples of the Chomer B'Shor rather than B'Esh. And vice versa, there's a Chomer B'Esh B'Shor. Esh has a certain stringency that Shor doesn't have. Sh'esh mu'edes mitchilasa ma'she'en kein B'Shor. A fire, by definition, from the very beginning, is mu'ad to cause damage. And you pay full damages, as opposed to Shor, which we said isn't the natural tendency to go and damage, because it's a Shor tam, a typical Shor will not do that, and you only pay half damages. Now we have, and the girsa that we have is Chomer Be'esh mi Bibor, and Chomer Bibor mi Be'esh. So we'll keep that girsa that we have, but then you have to switch around the next words that it says Chomer Bibor mi Be'esh. It should start off with the first thing instead of the second thing. So therefore, there are those that flip it around and say that the girsa over here, if you look in the Oz V'Hadar Gemaras, so they bring down in the Hagos V'Tziyunim in Oz Salat, they say that the proper reading over here should be Chomer bibor mi be'esh, and chomer be'esh mi bibor. So there'll be stringencies that esh has over bor, and stringencies that bor has over esh, and now we start off with chomer bibor mi be'esh. So that's why you flipped it around, so you can have first discussed as the first one that was stated. In any event, chomer bibor mi be'esh. The stringency that bar has that esh doesn't have is shetchilas asios lenezek, that a bar starts off at its creation as being a damager. I think I misspoke a minute ago when I said sheesh mu'edes mitchiloso. It didn't mean to say that esh is automatically a damager from the beginning. It meant that you pay full damages from the beginning. And here, the difference is that bar, in addition to paying full damages from the beginning, shetchilas asios lenezek, the whole creation of a bar is a damager. Fire isn't necessarily a damager. So shetchilas asios lenezek, that's by bar, but not by esh. And as we just pointed out, mesor lechei rishot v'katan yechayev, if you give over a bar to be watched by a cherishot and a katan, so the cherishot and katan can be a chayv if they don't take care of the boar properly. As opposed to, as we said, mashiyim be'esh, that neither of those two is the same. By esh, it isn't chilas asiyosu l'nezek. A fire doesn't automatically have to be for damage. It could be for cooking, it could be for heating, etc. And it's not automatically for damages. And as opposed to, if you give over a fire to a cherishot and katan, you're not going to be chayv. Now we have the verse, the reverse. Chomer be'esh mi b'bar. The stringency that you find by esh, you don't find by bor. And what is that? She'esh darko lelech lahazik. Fire moves, and it can go and cause damage as a mobile agent, so to say. It moves and causes damages, as opposed to a pit, which is, of course, stationary. And umuedes lechol bein dover haroi lo, ubein dover she'ein haroi lo. Fire will go and damage something that is normally flammable, but it will even damage things that aren't normally considered something that we'd use for combustion. But it can burn. So therefore, it can damage things that are normally used for combustion, as we'll see, like wood, and it can damage things that aren't normally used for combustion, something that is not wood, as we'll see in a moment in the Gemara. As opposed to Bashi Kane Bibor. Bor doesn't have these stringencies. It doesn't move, it's stationary, and Bor doesn't automatically have damage for Dover She'eno Roy Law, as we'll see in a moment what that means. So, the Gemara says, why don't we also include the Lisnei, another Chumr over here, Chumr B'Shar Mibibar, in the first scenario that we gave, where we gave Chumrs of Shar versus Bar, why didn't we also include, instead of just the four that we listed, there should be also another Chumr B'Shar Mibibar, and that is Shashar Chiev Bo Es HaKalim, that if a Shar damages Kalim, you have to go and pay for those Kalim that the Shar destroyed. As opposed to, in a Bar, Mashiach came a Bar, there is no damages for Kalim. So, if you have Kalim that fall into a Bar and they break, so the owner of the bar is not chayev to pay. So why didn't we list this as another chumrah by shor that we don't have by bar? So Gemara says, because you know who the author of this b'raisa is, Homani? This is Rabbi Yehudi. The b'raisa is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. And guess what? He holds the mechayev on this kekelim b'bar. He is of the opinion, samachlokes between the chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that if that kelim fall into a bar and they break, the ochayev, the owner of the bar, is chayev. And that's why it wasn't listed as a exception, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a chum of shor mibabar, both of them, the shor and the bar, are chayev for kalim. Now the verse says, wait a second, if you tell me the b'raisa is Rabbi Yehuda, we got another problem. If this b'raisa is Rabbi Yehuda, so then not only is the reisha Rabbi Yehuda, the whole b'raisa is Rabbi Yehuda. So Eva Seifa, keep on reading. We'd said, chum of mibesh mibabar. We said that there's a chumrah by esh that we don't find by bar, and that is she'esh darkel elchazik, so it's mobile, it moves. And we had said umuad lechol bein dover haroi lo, ubein dover she'en haroi lo. We said that esh, if it burns and destroys something, whether it's normally something that is used by esh to run up its flame, or if it's not something that's normally used as firewood, it still is going to be chayiv. Now, ma she'en came a bar, that's not true by bar. Now let's explain this. Now what is dover haroi lo? Ma'ininu. What is something that is normally burned by fire? So that's firewood. Eitzim. Now, what is something dover she'en roi lo? Ma'ininu. What is that? So that would be kalim. You have a chair. That's not normally something that's used for firewood, but of course it will burn. So an esh that destroys regular wood or any other kalim, you're going to be chayev for. As opposed to masha'ei came b'bar, if your chair falls into the pit, so you're not going to be chayev in that situation for the kalim. Now, if you're telling me that's Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, so then you are chayev. Ha'amris m'chayev Rabbi Yehuda on this kalim b'bar. So how can the Sefer tell us that you're not chayev for kalim in a bar when Rabbi Yehuda holds that you are chayev for kalim in a bar? So obviously it's problematic. So Gemara says, you're right. El Eliolim Rabbonini. No, the Braisa is not authored by Rabbi Yehuda. It's authored by the Rabbonin. Aye, what about the first part? Why didn't it list over here, Chomer B'Shar Mibibor, and say, Hashor Chayeb Bo Es HaKelim? as opposed to a bar that's not. So why did it not list that? Because v'tana v'shiyar. There were other things it didn't list. The Tana of the Braisa, the Chachamim, aren't a laundry list. They're not a peddler that has to go list everything that he has to sell. So it listed this four that it listed, but it didn't list others. Now, whenever we have a listing and we say it didn't list all of them, you have to have at least two that it didn't list. It would never not list one thing. So what is the ton of a shear over here? My shear, the high shear. What are you telling me? That in addition to not listing Shachor Chayibo Esakelim, in addition to not listing that, what else did it not list? So shear Tomun. It didn't list Tomun. What is Tomun? So Rashi tells us in Dibra Maskel, Shir Tomun, the Habalei Lemisde, Chomer Bishar Ubar Mi Be'esh. It should have listed that there's a Chumra by Shar and by Bar that Esh doesn't have. And what is that? Shim Bat Shar Besak Mole Kalin. If a ox were to go and kick at a sack that is filled with Kalin, Vishivron, and it broke all the Kalin inside, Chayiv, you'll be Chayiv. Or, Oim Nofal Chamor Bibar, the Olaf Sak Mole, Tvua, Chayiv. If an ox fell into a pit and it had on it a sack of tvua, so you'd be chayiv for destroying that. The avogav de tomu besak, even though the kalim in the first case with the shor and the tvua in the second case with the bar were all hidden tomun inside the sack, and therefore, as opposed to by eish, that masha ein came by eish, the nafkalim we're going to learn on daf samach that. May oh hakamah from the words of the pasuk oh hakamah the ain't no chayv ela begola, you only chayv if it's open, it's not enclosed in a sack. So therefore, it should have listed tamun. It didn't list tamun. So therefore, there's ton of ishir. So the author could be the chachamim. And why didn't it list the first thing? Because it also didn't list the second thing. Fine. Alternatively, Gemara is going to suggest the second teretz ibayi seima that we could still say that the brayis is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, Leol Rabbi Yehuda. Aye, and that question, the dover she'ein roy law lav lasuya kalim, it wasn't for kalim elo lasuya lichecha niro v'sichsecha avonot. It's talking about that the fire that it goes and burns not kalim, but if it goes and burns the ground or if it goes and scorches the stones. So the rocks, in that situation, you're chayiv as well. Now, Maskel Ravashi, Ravashi questions this, says, really? So then, list the chomer bishor mi bar. Then you should have also listed another chomer that shor has versus bar, if you hold like this, because shashar, chiyiv bo shor, psulei hamukdashin. Because there's another thing, if an ox gores a psulei hamukdashin ox, what is psulei hamukdashin? So an animal was designated to be a carbon, and then it got a boom. So then the animal is allowed to be sold. An animal without a mum, without a blemish, is not allowed to be sold. If it's a carbon, it must be used as a carbon. But here it gets a mum, it can't be used as a carbon, so then it can be redeemed. But it's then called psulei hamukdashim. It's a previously mukdashim animal that now is possible. So there are rules as to what you can do with this. So one of the rules is that you can't go and feed it to a dog if it dies. And you can't go and shear it, you can't go and milk it. All you're allowed to do is go and shecht it for barbecue. It's no longer hektish, but you just have to shecht it. Now, so in this situation, if a shor were to gore a shor that was a psulei hamukdashin, so a regular person's ox goes and gores this psulei hamukdashin ox, so it, in fact, you're going to be chayiv. Now, shashor chayiv bo shor psulei hamukdashin. If a shor went and gored a psulei hamukdashin, you would be chayiv, as opposed to masha'en came bebar. But if the psulei hamukdashin fell into a bar, you wouldn't be allowed to use it. Now, if you're telling me this is the opinion of the Rabbanon, so I did the shir hach, since we're leaving out that shor is chayiv for kalim, as opposed to bor and eish are not chayiv for kalim, so that's the thing that we were mishayir by the chachamim, so shir nami hach. So we left out this did as well, that by psulei hamukdashin, the ox that gores is going to be chayiv, but the pit that psulei hamukdashin falls into, you're not going to be chayiv for. But Elo Yavis Rav Yehuda, but if you're telling me it's Rav Yehuda, so then Mashir, the Hashir, there's nothing else that's left out, according to Rav Yehuda, because Kalim are going to be Chayiv. So one says, no, there is something that's left out. Shir Dosh B'Niro, that if an ox went and ruined a plowed field, in other words, it unplowed it, so to say, it was nicely plowed, and the ox ran around over there, and it ruined it, so then the ox in that situation would be Chayiv, whereas if the ox went into a pit, and it ruined the pit, so there is no such thing as ruining a pit. So Gemara says, wait a second. If that's what you're telling me, that is ton of a shear, so then imishum dosh beniro, that the ox that ruins the plowed field, you're chayev. But the ox that ruined the plowed pit, you're not chayev. So then, lav shiru, that wouldn't be a real shear. And we'd be back to our original question, what is the ton of a shear? So the hatana, because we learned, shekein darko lelech ulahazik, because we learned that an ox goes and damages, and the pit doesn't go and damage. And that's why the ox, you have to tell it to me. But the pit, you wouldn't have to tell it to me. So it wouldn't be ton of a shear. So therefore, this second teretz, that the olam, it's Rabbi Yehuda, isn't a correct teretz. And the correct teretz is that the brice is authored by the Chachamim. Okay. Then we go back to the Mishnah. We quote the Mishnah. I said there was an enigmatic part of this Mishnah that we finally get to explain in the Gemara, and now we're going to get to it. So the Mishnah said, Hichsharti b'miktsos nisko. If a person was facilitating the damage, but he didn't facilitate all of the damage, he only facilitated part of the damage, so he said, nevertheless, he has to pay the full damage. Now, Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa is going to expand on the Mishnah and will give us the details. Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Hirsharti miksas nisko, if the person facilitated part of the damage, so chati b'tashlumi nisko, he has to pay for the full damages. Kehershar kol nisko, as if he had caused all of the damage. Now, what is the case? Ketzad. Hachover bar tisha. For example, if somebody goes and digs a pit that is 9 tefachim deep in the Rishus HaRabim, Ubo acher, and then another person comes along and makes it 10 tefachim deep. Ubo acher vishlimo liasara. And the magic number 10, tefachim, is that's the minimal depth that a bor has to have in order to be able to kill somebody. As we pointed out previously, if it only has 9 tefachim, so then it can only cause damage, but it won't cause somebody to die. So therefore, this bor didn't have the capacity to kill anybody when it was 9 tefachim. And now another guy comes along and just digs one additional tefach. So ubo acher vishlimo liasara ha'achron chayev. The last one who dug it, the extra tefach to make it 10 tefachim deep, is going to be chayev for any rachmon lutzlan death that is caused. He'll have to go and pay for the death or the nezek that is caused by his pit. Now, this Udalo ki Rebbe. This doesn't go in accord with the opinion of Rebbe. What did Rebbe say to Tanya? Because we have a Braisa that tells us that Rebbe disagrees with this. The Braisa says, Achofer bor tisha, if somebody goes and digs 9 tvachim of a bor, and then uba acher vishlimo liasar, and somebody else comes along and makes a 10 tvachim, so the achron is chayiv. The last person that dug this last tefach, he's going to be one that's chayiv. That is in accord with this first Braisa that we brought down, ha achron chayiv. But Rebbe says no. Rebbe Omer, Achron the Misa, Achar Shneim L'Nizokin, that in regards to Misa, you're right. The guy that dug 9 Tvachim, it didn't have the capacity to go and kill an animal. But once you dig a 10 Tvachim, so now it has the capacity to go and kill an animal. So therefore, the guy that dug the last Tefach, he's 100% Chayiv. So Rebbe agrees in regards to Misa, the second guy is Chayiv, Achron Chayiv. But Rebbe says in regards to damage, the 9 Tvachim could damage. Okay, 10 Tvachim will damage even more, but the 9 tefachim will damage. So in this situation, they both are chayiv to pay. So Rebbe says, in damage, both of them pay. And it seems that the Tanakama over here, who holds like the Tanakama, the first braisa, says, no, ha'achron chayiv, only the last person is chayiv. So therefore, this first braisa that we brought down to explain our Mishnah can't be in accord with Rebbe. Lo ki Rebbe. However, the Gemara now brings down the opinion of Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, no, we can even reconcile the first braisa with the opinion of Rebbe, because Rav Papa mar lemisa v'divrekol. When the Mishnah over here, our Mishnah, which is the way the braisa understands our Mishnah, is talking about that you're chayiv to pay the full amount, that's only for misa, lemisa. And this is divrekol. This is Rebbe, as well as the Tanakam of Rebbe. In regards to damages is a machlokis, but not in regards to Misa. And our Mishnah, as explained by this first Braisa, is talking about Misa. And therefore, it's the universal opinion. Let's the Divrei HaKol. And therefore, there is no machlokis. Likewise, Ikud de Amre, there's another way to have learned this than the way we did, which comes to the same conclusion. Let us suggest, Lema de Loki Rebbe. Let us suggest that this Braisa clearly doesn't hold like Rebbe. Because, as we said, Rebbe holds that in regards to Misa, yes, the Achron pays, but in regards to Nizakin, that both pay. So here we're asking it as a question, and Amar Papa. Rav Papa comes along and says, no, Rebbe could also hold like the Braisa, which explains our Mishnah, the Misa of the Rekol, because it's talking about Misa. And if you're dealing with Misa, then even Rebbe holds that the Achron is Chayiv. Okay, now the Gemara asks, Maskev lo Rebbe Zeira. Zeira is the first of a series of questions that we're going to have on this Braisa's understanding of our Mishnah. Vesu leka. The Braisa said, this is the only example. The Braisa gave us one example over here and says that it's 9 tefachim versus 10 tefachim. So v'suleka, there's no other example where a person would be chayev for facilitating only part of the damager, and he's chayev for the full amount. That's the only example. But Iko, what about the following case? Masar shoru l'chamisha b'nei adam. A man gave over his ox to five people to watch. Uparsha bo echad mehen v'hizik. And one of them was negligent. He didn't watch the ox properly, and the ox gored, and the ox did damage. In this situation, chayev. Only this last one, only the achron is chayev. This guy, as Rashi says, uparsha bo shaholach lo v'lo shomro, he didn't watch it properly. So then in this situation, the guy is chayev. But this would be another example of the achron is chayev. So why didn't the Braisa list this as well? Someone says, no. Hey, chidami, what is this talking about? Ilemo de belav ihu lo havi mintor Rabbi Zeira. Are we talking here about a case that if this bad guy that didn't watch it properly, if he didn't watch it, the belav ihu, if it wasn't him watching it, lo havi mintor, wouldn't be watched at all. So then, of course, pshita, he's the one that didn't watch it. He's the only one. Everybody else wasn't assigned at that time. So if he's the only one that didn't watch it, because he was the only one that was supposed to watch it, so then, of course, he'd be the one that's chayev. The ihu ka'avit, because he caused all the damage. Nobody else did any damage. However, Ella, the belav ihu, let's say all five of them were supposed to watch it. So if he didn't watch it, there are still four of the guys that are responsible. And therefore, even without him, Ella, the belav ihu, even without him, nami mintor, it's watched by the other four guys. So then, my covid. So then, two ways to understand this. Rashi, the Rashi is going to be found on Yud Amud Beis. So if you turn there, Rashi says, id belav ihu, lo mintor, kigon shayu asok of royim, he wasn't doing it properly. But the other people were supposed to watch it properly. So then, if the animal still caused damage, then Mike Ovid, what did he do? He didn't do anything. And the top Tosus says over here, Bekula Shmeis and Sirch Lomar Mike Ovid Tfei Meachrini. Tosus understands why is he held more responsible or less responsible than any of the other guys. They all five didn't watch it. And all five now should share equally in the payment. V'yishalim kol echad chelko. But not to learn it, liftar, that he's totally exempt, like Rashi learns it over here. Rashi says that he doesn't have to pay anything. There ain't no chayev klum. So there's a megizra machlokas over here between Rashi and Tosos. Rashi says, when we say over here now, Micah Ovid, Rashi says he shouldn't have to pay anything because the other guys were supposed to watch it too. And therefore, they all four were negligent, so they have to pay and he doesn't. Whereas Tosos says, well, he's also included in the negligence, and therefore all five of them have to pay it evenly. So therefore, that's why Rav Zera's objection is not a real objection. That case is not a real case. Weiter, the Gemara says, Maskel Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes is looking to say, really, there's no other case other than the 9 Tvachim to 10 Tvachim? For Ika Marbe B'Chavila. And again, the Rashi here is found on the Omid Beis, which says, Sheribo Chavilos Zemoros, he added bundles of twigs, Bahadlocha Shel Chaveru, to a fire of his friend, and that caused V'Kirva Aideya Chavilos and in this situation, he facilitated this with his bundles of twigs that it went and burned down somebody's property, somebody's haystack, somebody's gadish, and therefore only he should be chayiv. So he did part of it because it was ready, was a fire there, and yet achron chayiv, he's the one that's chayiv. So this, why wasn't this case also included? Rosh Hashanah says, for ikamar b'chavila, what about this case? Why are you only listing the 9 tvachim to 10 tvachim? Here's another case where he added bundles of twigs to a ready burning fire. So what says again? Hechidami. Now we really turn to Yoram Beis. E debilad ihu lo ozla. If it wasn't for the additional twigs that he put in, this fire would never have traveled anywhere. So the mshita, of course he's the one that's chayiv because he's the only one that did anything. But if you're telling me, Ella, the belav iu, even without him, Oslo, the fire still would have gone, so then my covid. Again, the seeming Rashi would say is, so he's not held accountable at all. The fire would have gone even without him. And according to the Oslo, well, he helped facilitate it, so he and the owner of the fire both should together be chayiv. So therefore, this is not a case. This scenario over here, but both Rav Sheshes and Rav Zeira, so they're machshavos that they had, but they're incorrect. And now, however, we're going to bring down a brisa and say, why didn't the brisa that we brought down saying 9 tvachim versus 10 tvachim, so why didn't this brisa also get included? Now, Rav Papa is asking on a brisa. As Rashi points out, the two questions that we had from Rav Zeira and Rav Sheshes were their own thoughts. And therefore, no, it didn't have to go there were svaras, Rashi says, and therefore we don't have to shlug them up. But we don't have to find a teretz for them. But this brisa, we're going to have to find the teretz for, because this is an authentic brisa, and we have to go and figure out what it's talking about. So first let's understand the question, and then we'll understand what the problem is. So Maskev lo Rapapa, Rapapa says, why didn't you also include, instead of just the 9 tzvachim, the 10 tzvachim case, for Ika ha the Tanya, the following brisa. Chamisha sheyosh wasal selechot. You had 5 people sitting on a bench, velosh varu, and it didn't break under their weight. So the bench was sturdy enough to hold up these 5 people. But then along comes a very heavy 6th guy. Now another person comes along and breaks the bench. So ha'achron chayev. Only this last guy is chayev. And the amra papa, kigon papa bar abba. You know who the 6th guy was? He was a guy that was like Papa Bar Abba. Who was Papa Bar Abba? So Rashi tells us he was a very morbidly obese guy. Shaya Bal Basav. He was an obese person. And therefore, the first 5 people that sat on the bench didn't break the bench. When this guy, like Papa Bar Abba, very obese guy, sat on the bench. So now the bench broke. So why didn't we include that case? Here you had 5 other people involved, but the Achron is Chayiv. So isn't that another example? Now this is a Brisa, so we have to address what the Brisa means. So, Hechidami. First we ask, what exactly is going on over here? If it wasn't for the fact that this very obese person came and sat there, it wouldn't have broken. It would have been able to hold those 5 guys forever. And only now that this 6 heavy guy comes along, does the bench break? So then, pshit, of course he's the one that's chayv. He's the one that broke it. The other 5, it would have stayed with them for years. It wouldn't have broken. Ella, so what must the case be? The Belavi, even without this very obese 6th guy, Nami Itvar, it would have broken anyway. So then, my carbon. So then why is he either held liable at all, like Rashi, or like Tosos? Okay, so he should be one of the 6 people to help pay for the damages. So this case isn't also something that should have been listed in the Brisa with the 9th Tvachim versus the 10th Tvachim, and therefore, it's not a Kasha. But the Gemara here now asks, which you didn't ask for the first 2 examples, so, masnisa, hecha matarza. Here, this isn't just a svara. So we don't have to go and address what Rav Zera said, what Rav Sheisha said, because they were only svaras. But here, this is Rav Papa bringing a brisa. Okay, it's not an example of achron chayev, but what is it talking about? So, masnisa, hecha matarza. How are you going to understand this brisa? Someone says, lo tzricha, it's very easily understood in the following way. The belav ihu heavy mitbar betray shai. Without this heavy 6th guy, the bench was on its way to breaking. It just needed 2 hours more to break because the combined weight of the first 5 guys was slowly breaking it. And in 2 more hours, it would have broken. And now comes along this very heavy guy. Bahashta itbar b'chodeshah. By his sitting on it, it broke in 1 hour. So he sped up the breaking of it. The Amri Lay, in this situation, this last guy is chayev, because Ilav At, the other 5 people could tell him, if it wasn't for you sitting on this, Havi Yisvinon Tvei Purta V'Kaiminon, we would have just sat for 1 hour, and then we would have gotten up and it wouldn't have broken. But now that we sat for 1 hour with you, you're the one that broke it, and therefore, we don't have to pay, and you have to pay. So that's the right understanding of the Brisa. Moore says, but why can't this person say to the others, Lema Lahu, listen, Ilav Atun B'didi Lo Havi Mitbar. If it wasn't for you 5 guys, it never would have broken under my weight alone. I'm not that heavy that my single weight would have broken it. It's my weight plus your weight that broke it. And therefore, don't blame me. You should have gotten up. When I sat down, you should have gotten up. And therefore, why am I chayv? You should be chayv. And certainly, I shouldn't be chayv by myself. At worst, we should all be chayv. So he says, yeah, you're right, but lo tzricha, this case is teaching us the bahadi the samich behu tovar. It's because he leaned on the bench, that's when the bench broke. So Moore says, okay, so then pshita, he leaned on it, it wasn't breaking without his leaning on it, so he's pretty much the one that broke it. So therefore, how can you say that the other people are chayiv? They had nothing to do with it being chayiv. So Moore says, yes, there is a svarit here to say it's not so pshita. Because Ma'al Detem, I would have said, he didn't actually sit on the bench. He just leaned on the people that were on the bench. He never actually sat on the bench. And therefore, I might have said that Kocho, while it was his force, Lav Kigufo Dummy, that's not his own body sitting on the bench. And therefore, the Chiddush of this price is, Komash Bolan, that even though it's his Koach, so to say, and not his Guf, the Kocho, Kigufo dummy, that we view his forcing and sitting on the other people. So that is, in fact, just as if he sat it on it himself. The kol hecho the gufo tovar, because if his body had broken it, so kocho nami tovar. So his force of his body on them also broke it. why didn't they get up? So Rashi brings down that they were, so to say, forced to sit there by him. He was leaning on them and they couldn't get rid of him. And therefore, he leaned on them and they couldn't get up. So therefore, they're not held accountable for why they didn't get up. And the chiddush of the braisa is that his koach, even though he didn't sit on the bench itself, but it was his koach that forced them to have more pressure on the bench, that broke the bench. So therefore, he is chayav by himself. That's the way to understand the braisa. Now the Gemara says again, v'su leka, are there really no other examples from our Mishnah other than the 9 tvachim versus the 10 tvachim? What about v'iko hodetanya? What about the following braisa? Hikuhu asor b'deyodon b'yesem achlos. There were 10 guys that Nebuch were ganging up on one person, and they beat him up with these 10 clubs. And it doesn't make any difference, the Bryce says, bein b'bas achas, bein b'zeh achazeh, whether they all hit him one after the other, or they all hit him simultaneously, and they say, Nebuch, this poor guy dies that they beat up. So the Bryce says, kulan peturin. None of them is held accountable, whether it was even one after the other, or whether they all did it at the same time, because no one person killed him. The combination of the blows of all 10 of them, that's what killed him. On the other hand, Rehu the Maseira disagrees. Rehu the Maseira Omer, Bazeh Chazeh HaAchu Chayv. When guy number one hit him, then number two, then number three. Now finally, number 10 hits him, and now he dies, even though this guy was already in horrible shape. Bottom line is, number 10 killed him. So, Bazeh Chazeh, then only in that situation, the last one, HaAchu, number 10, he would be Chayv. Why? Because he was the one that caused the guy to die, even though he might have died after the 9 blows from the first 9 people, but right now he was alive, and this guy facilitated his death. So therefore, number 10 is the one that is given the full responsibility for his death. Now, why isn't this listed as another example where the Achron is Chayav? So the Gemara says, because B'ktola lo kamayri, because the Braisa was only listing financial penalties, it wasn't listing capital penalties. And this, because it's a Misa case, would be capital and not a financial penalty. That's teretz number one. V'bayisema, teretz number two, b'pluksa lo kamayri, because this braisa has a machlokas in it. The Tanakama, the Chachamim, versus Yehudim and Misera. And therefore, we don't want to list the explaining of our Mishnah, we didn't want to list anything that was a machlokas. And that's why the 9 tvachim, 10 tvachim, that wasn't a machlokas. We said, as Rav Papa explained, that was the kuli alma. And in this situation, it's a machlokas. We don't want to list the machlokas. Mara says, really? You don't want to list the machlokas? But we had said that there is a machlokas with Rebbe in terms of damage. So granted, in terms of the Misa, it was the Kuli Alma. But in terms of the damage, it was machlokas. So Mara says, because the lo kirebi uche rabbanan mukmina. There, we don't want to establish the braisa that would be like Rebbe. The lo kirebi, that we didn't want to do. But according to have it like the opinion of the majority, like the Chachamim, that wasn't a problem. Whereas here, we wouldn't be establishing it according to the opinion of the Chachamim, because they say Kulam Peturin. Here we would be establishing according to the Das Yachid, Rav Yehuda ben Maseira. So, Rav Yehuda ben Maseira, v'lo k'rabbanan, lo mukminan. There, we don't want to have a Das Yachid. So therefore, it didn't list the Das Yachid. Okay. Now we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Chati b'tashlumei nisko. It used an interesting expression. It says the guy has to pay tashlumei nisko. Why did you just say Chati nisko? You have to pay the damage that you caused. So Chati b'nisko loktani. It didn't say that he has to pay the damage. It said b'tashlumei nisko. So what's the extra word b'tashlumei nisko coming to teach us? The tashlumei? That comes to teach us the following. Tanina leha the Torah Rabbanan. It comes to teach us that which we learned in a braisa elsewhere, where it said in the braisa, the Tanu Rabbanon, Tashlume Nezek, when it says Tashlume Nezek, Milamei Shaba'olim Metaplin Banevela, that when your ox gores another ox and it killed it, so then the Nevela, the carcass, so that's worth something, but who has to have the trouble of going to handle that carcass? So the braisa tells us, Shaba'olim, the owners of the carcass, the ones who were damaged, their animal was damaged, they have to go and deal with the carcass. So their animal is worth $500. So they're owed $500, but the carcass is worth $50. But they have to go and be matriarch themselves to go get the $50 for the carcass, and therefore the other guy only has to pay him $450. Now, how do we know that? We know immediately. So the Gemara is going to give us 3 different psukim to teach us this din, and then we'll say why it needs to give us 3 different psukim. Why couldn't learn from any one of them? So we know immediately. How do we know that this is true, that the nizak, the one who was damaged, he's going to get the carcass and have to be metapa with it. He's going to be matriach himself and have to go deal with the carcass if he wants to get his money for the carcass. And He can't say, well, listen, you killed my ox, just give me $500 and you deal with the carcass. So he can't tell the mazik to deal with the carcass, and it's based upon these three psukim. The first one is from Amar Rav Ami. Rav Ami tells us the Amar Krov, because the pasuk says, Make nefesh behema yishalmenu. If a person goes and damages an ox, so he has to go and pay for it. So the word said yishalmenu. So al tikri yishalmenu. Don't read the word yishalmenu. Ela yashli mena. In other words, it should be yashli mena that you have to go and complete it. So whatever the ox is worth, so as a carcass, that's the nizaks. And all you have to do is go and pay for the rest of it. You have to be yash li mena. Fill in whatever it still needs to be paid other than what the carcass is worth. So that is pasuk 1. Rav Kahana tells us a different pasuk. Rav Kahana, Amar Mihocha. Right? We have Rav Ami telling us this pasuk of yash li mena instead of yishal mena. And Rav Kahana tells us this from this pasuk. Im torov yitorev yivyeyu eid hatrifolo yishalem. If the ox gores another animal, so then you have to go and give the treifa to the nizak, lo yishalem. You don't have to pay for the treifa. He gets the treifa. He gets the carcass. And you have to pay him just the difference between what the carcass is worth and what is worth while it's alive. So ad treifa yishalem. You have to pay up to the level of the carcass. However, treifa atzvo, the carcass itself, lo yishalem. That you don't have to pay for. This Rav Kahana's pasuk. And finally, we have Chizkiyah's pasuk. Third pasuk. Chizkiyah amar Mihocha. We learn out this din that the nizak is the one that keeps the carcass from the following pasuk. Vameis yelo. Here we're dealing with a shor muat that went and killed another shor. So vameis yelo, the nizak gets to keep the mace. La nizak. And they taught so in the base medrash of Chizkiyah. Vameis yelo, it means la nizak. And he gets to keep the mace. The nizak gets to keep the carcass, and he just can ask for the difference between what the animal is worth alive and what it's worth now as a carcass. But he has to deal with the carcass. Someone says, who says? Why is Chizkiyah and the Devei Chizkiyah telling us that it's the Nizak? I told me the Nizak. You're telling me that the mace goes to the Nizak. Maybe not. Oh, ain't well, the Mazik. Maybe it belongs to the Mazik. He has to go be Batriach. He just has to give the $500 to the Nizak and knew he can take the $50 of the carcass and get back at least $50. Someone says, no. I'm Miss Lokachoya. No, that's incorrect. Someone says, what do you mean? Why is that incorrect? My Lokachoya. Why is it incorrect? So Abai tells us very interesting. Abai says, if in fact the nevela belonged to the mazik, so then just say, lichta rechbona shor tachas hashor v'lishtoch. You wouldn't have to say anything else. Why do you have to say, v'meisi elo? Oh, from the fact that you said, v'meisi elo, lomali, why do you have to say that? Shema minah comes to teach us that it belongs to the nizak. And that's the full understanding of the third pasuk Chizkiyah. So we have a pasuk from Rav Ami, we have a pasuk from Rav Kahana, and we have a pasuk from Chizkiyah, and the obvious question is, why do we need all three? The Gemara says, utzricha, we need all three. Why is that? Because, dikas rechmana, we only have the first pasuk, makeh. If we only had the pasuk that said, makeh, nefesh, behemo, yishalmena, and don't read it yishalmena, and read it yashlimena. If we only had that, that's a person causing the damage. Mishum de lo shlicha. It's very unusual for a person to go cause damage to another person's animal. However, avot treifa, in the case where one animal gores another animal, so that happens pretty frequently. Avot treifa, the shlicha, so then maybe, you know what, taka, aim below. The person who didn't watch his animal properly, so we make the mazik go. When it's a person, so it's such an unusual thing, so we make the nizak go and have to take care of the carcass. But you know what? If it's a common thing, like one animal goring another animal, so let's what? Guess what? Let's make the mazik have to take care of it. Therefore, tzricha. Therefore, you have to tell me the second pasuk. No, v'yashmina treifa, if you only told me the second pasuk, so then I would have said mishum de memela, because an animal just went and damaged another animal. They got into a fight. It wasn't a short muad. So it was a short time. No, and it happened. So it happened by itself. But in the first pasuk, where a person went and damaged the other animal, so I would say, you know what, you taka did it yourself. It didn't happen in Mela. Say hello. Maybe we do make the mazik be matriach. So therefore, you need the first two psukim to teach us that even though each of them has a side that you would have thought maybe we should be matriach the mazik, so the bottom line is no, we don't. No, just tell me those two. So then I would have said, you know why in those two cases we make the nizak have to be matriach with the carcass? Because in the case of a human being, it doesn't cause damage frequently, so that's why we make the nizak do it. And in the case of the short time, going and attacking, so then it doesn't happen all the time. So therefore the carcass will go to the nizak to have to deal with. However, the case of the shor muad, the shchicha, it does it frequently. It's a sharmuot. And to be a dayim, since the owner didn't watch it, it's as if the owner did it himself. So therefore, I would have said, you know, tak, in that situation, the owner should have to go take care of the carcass. The mazik should have to take care of the carcass. Therefore, kamash v'lon, that no, that's not true. No, so the Gemara says, even in that situation, if the nizak has to take care of the carcass, so just tell me that case, and I'll know the other two. Yes, I mean, we only have the third case with the sharmuad, the mesi elo, you know what I would have said? Mishum de mamona kamazik, because it was that person's property, his sharmuad, that went to the damage. But in the first case, with the human being, avohacha, the begufa mazik, with his own hands he did the damage, in that situation, I would have said, yo, taka, he should have to go and take the carcass and be matriach, em elo. We don't say it to nizak, we say the mazik should have it. Therefore, tzricha. So we need all three of the psukim from all three of the amorayim to go and prove that in all three cases, each of them has a reason why you think it should be the masik, but nevertheless, in all three cases, we give the nizak the carcass and he has to go take care of it. Gemara continues and says, Amalei Rav Kahana l'Rav. Rav Kahana said to Rav, Elo taimo dekoser rechvon of amesi elo. So according to the third pasuk with the shoramuad, the reason why we give it to the nizak and not the masik is because, as we just said, that amesi elo, it's because of the extra wording. Where it says, but wait a second, that implies, if we didn't say the words Ramesi Elo, I would have said, Avamina Nevela de Mazik Havya. We would have said it belongs to the Mazik. Oh, it's only because it says Ramesi Elo that we know it goes to the Nizak. But that's not true. Hashta, I isle lidide, kama trepos, yovle. But wait a second. Guess what? The Mazik can go and give the carcass to the Nizak. Because after all, let's say he owes him $500 and he happens to have 10 carcasses that are worth $50 each. So that's $500. He could give them all 10 carcasses. The Yom HaMarkas, we've already learned, Kesef Yoshiv Livolov, we said that came to be marred by the extra word Yoshiv, L'rabo Shava Kesef, Apilu Subin, that you could give him something that is the equivalent of money, such as bran. So if you give him bran, you could give him carcasses. So, Didei Mibaya. So here, the carcass actually belonged to the Nizak. So if you're telling me, no, we make the Mazik be Matriach, so guess what the Mazik's going to say? Well, here's your $50. Here's the carcass. So if you can do it with Subin, you can certainly do it over here. So why would I need the extra words? I'm ACLO. Taka to teach me that it goes to the Nizak and not the Mazik. That's Rav Kahana's question to Rav. And therefore, the Gemara says, you're Taka right. And therefore, the reason why we say we need Vamei CLO, Lo Nitzricha Ella Lepichas Nevela. That's to teach us that the Nevela is owned by the Nizak, and any damage that occurs to the Nevela afterwards, it spoils, it's eaten by dogs, it's something that decreased its value, so it's on the Nizak's dime that the value goes down. So once it's worth $50 at the time of the damage, if it now is worth $25, so the Nizak lost the $25 and not the Mazik. So this is called Pechas Nevela. Anything that causes the carcass over here, the Nevela, to go down in value, it's going to be the Nizak that suffers that loss. Shmuel says, maybe this is actually a machlokas. Lemo pechas nevelo tanoihi. Maybe this question is, who is being hurt by the devaluation, by the going down in price of the carcass before it's actually sold? So maybe it's the Nizak, maybe it's the Mazik. Let's say it's a machlokas tanoim. Because the Tanya, we learned in the following brisa, the pasuk says, we already just asked a minute ago, im terof yitaref yivyeway, ha trefa lo yishalem. So in this situation, if the animal is made into a trefa, so you just have to bring in aid, and then you don't have to pay. What does this mean? And we turn to Yud Aleph, Omud Aleph. So the Tanakhama holds, yavi aidim, shenitrefa ba'ones. So the person who's the Shomer Socher in this situation just has to bring, as Rashi tells in Tat Rashi, that the Shomer Socher brings witnesses that it was an onus that this animal happened. He was watching it properly, but an onus came, so he locked the door properly, and then a hurricane came and knocked down the door. So the animal got out and it gored. So he did a proper Shemira, and he's potter for onsin. So as Rashi says, in this situation, who potter, because the Shomer Socher potter be onsin. Kidichsiv bey, umeis onishbar, onishba. So therefore, it already, the pasuk tells us that if you bring Adim to show that it was an onus, you don't have to pay. Now that's Tanakama. Abba Shaul learns this pasuk that Torah Yitaref Yivyeu Aid, he learns the word aid doesn't mean witnesses. Abba Shaul Omer Yavi Aduda LeBeisdin. Rashi explains Aduda is another word for the Nevela. You bring the Nevela to the Beisdin. So why doesn't Abba Shaul learn it like the Tanakama? He says that you bring the aduda, the nevela, to the basin, implying that the Tanakhama says you don't bring the aduda to the basin. And he learns that it means aiden. So what's the source of their machlokis? My lab ultimately let us suggest that this is what they're arguing about. That Abishol holds the Meir Sovar Pichas Nevela, the Nizakabe. He has to go bring it there and show what it's worth. And it's his tircha that you have to go and do it to bring the Aduda, to the Nevela, to the Beis Din. And it's up to the Nizak to do that. Whereas the Tanakama holds the Meir Sovar, the Mazakabe. It's the Mazak. And therefore, the word Eidim over here, Yevieh you aid, is telling us if you want to be potter, because it was onsen, you have to bring witnesses that it was onsen. But if you're going to be chayiv, so then you, the mazik, are going to have to be matriach yourself with the carcass. So let it say, it's a machlokas tanoim. Someone says, lo. In fact, it's not. The kuliyamo de nizak. Both the Tanakam and Abishol say that the carcass belongs to the nizak. So what are they arguing about? Ah, v'ha b'torach nevelo kamiflegi. They're arguing about who has to go and trouble themselves of bringing the carcass to the Beis Din so the Beis Din can evaluate how much it's worth. And I'll show you that this is right for Tanya. This for Tanya is benichusa. This for Tanya, as Rashi tells us, is a proof for Tanya. I've mentioned this many times. Almost Rashi all the time says when it's a proof, he uses benichusa. It's no Vatanya. It's not a arguing Vatanya. It's a Vatanya benichusa. And the proof to this is from the following brisa. Acherim omrim. The acherim say. Now, who are these acherim? So this is Abishol, minayin sha'al bal habor lahalo shor miboro. How do we know that the owner of the pit has to go bring up the shor that fell into the pit and died there from the bottom of the pit? Talmud Lomar, because the pasuk says kesef yoshiv levalav v'ameis, that you have to go and give money to the owner of the animal and you have to bring him the carcass. So therefore, Abishol suggests over here that the tircha, the Torah Nevela, is the responsibility of the Mazik. Whereas, it doesn't mention it, but there's a Tanakam over here that would say, no, that is the Nizak's responsibility. So let us say, this is in fact a machlokas between Abishol and Tanakama as to the Torah of the Nevela. Abishol says the Mazik, and the Tanakama says that it is the Nizak. So the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye L'Rava, Hai Torah Nevela, Hechi Dami. What exactly are we talking about, the Torah Nevela? If you're telling me that in the pit it's only worth one zud, the nevela. Aye, now you take it out of the pit, the aguda on the top of the pit, shavya arba, it's not worth arba zuzim. So then, that's not just the tircha that he did, kitarach, bidinav sheitarach. He just improved it. We all agree that he's the one that gets it. So if you're talking about the benefit to him, he just made it go up from one zuz to four zuz. So of course he should have to do it. So Gemara says, no, we're not talking about that. Amalei, he says, even in the case, lo tzricha, the bebira shav yezuzah, v'aguda nami shav yezuzah. So the price doesn't change, the value doesn't change, and therefore, you can't tell me that he's doing this for his own benefit, because it doesn't change at all, so therefore, it can't be doing it b'naf shei tarach, that he's doing it for himself. More questions, it says, really, umiko kehai gabna? How can you tell me that it's worth the same on the top of the pit as it is the bottom of the pit? Shouldn't it be worth more at the top of the pit? Or says, no, sometimes that's the way it is. In fact, it's worth the same at the bottom of the pit as the top of the pit. The army inches, as people say, the popular saying is, kishur b'masa b'zuzah, so too kishur b'davra b'zuzah. Just like a beam that might be worth in the town where all the people are, it sells for a zuz. Even if it's out in the field and you have the transportation costs, you can also buy it in the field for a zuz. So the location doesn't really change the price, and therefore the bottom pit, top of the pit is the same, and therefore can't say that he's being matriach for his own benefit, because actually it doesn't get any benefit from going from the bottom of the pit to the top of the pit. Okay, this is a good break point. We'll stop over here. Yemir Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should protect all of Klal Yisrael from all the tzaras that we're going through right now and bring Moshiach Tzidkenu b'mehirah b'yameinu.